Oh, Lord, we thank you for this holiness, Lord. We thank you that you're a God who calls us, saves us, and equips us to be transformed. Lord, did you initiate that which happens in an instant, Lord, and is walked out in a lifetime. We thank you for the salvation that we found in you, for this healing and this virtue that we found in you, for the dunamis power that changes our lives and the lives of those around us. We thank you, Lord, that we can do this, Lord, not out of our own strength, Lord, but out of the rest that you have provided for our soul. Out of the place of life that you've provided for our soul. I thank you, Lord, that as we serve you, we become aware of the rushing river of your delight that surrounds us, Lord. Because you have desired for us to be with you. You have desired for us to be one with you. And Lord, we choose to be one with you. We choose to enter into that which is your delight, that which is your pleasure, Lord. We choose to enter in with you and to receive all that you have offered for each and every one of us. We receive the abundance of grace this morning. We receive that gift of righteousness this morning. We thank you for this gift of righteousness, this right standing with you, Lord. It's not something that we could do out of our own strength, Lord, but because we choose you. Because you've offered it to us. We thank you, Lord, that you're inferring your righteousness over us. You're releasing righteousness over us, holiness, right standing. And it comes out of your sacrifice, Lord. It comes out of this place of love that we find in you. It comes out of a mercy, Lord, that is a never-ending love. We thank you for the beauty of this holiness, the beauty of this love, Lord, that you have for us. We rejoice, Lord, in the perfection of your holiness. We rejoice in the totality of your beauty, Lord. We rejoice, Lord, because, Lord, we have been given an access and a relationship with you. Hallelujah, Lord. We rejoice. We enter in this morning. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. It's awesome to see y'all. It's awesome to be here. It's awesome to be talking. Last week I taught on having a voice, that you have a voice. And what does the devil do this week? He tries to steal my voice. But who knows, we're not going to let him do that, okay? Hallelujah. I was reflecting on that yesterday. I was like, okay, I taught about it on Sunday, and then all this week I've not had a voice, okay? I am not putting up with this. This is obviously an assignment, and I'm gonna ace my assignment now. So my voice is much better. Hallelujah. So we wanted to make sure that we just overcome, right? So, and the other thing was that we talked last week about you have a voice because you stay in the place of rest, right? I'm telling on myself this morning. And so when I started losing my voice, what did I do? I worked harder. I did more until I came in the back door and I just laid on the carpet, spread eagle, because I couldn't go any farther. And so I'm learning to enter in to the rest. I'm learning to enter in to the rest. I'm not going to just teach it. I'm going to do it. Okay. That's my commitment to you and myself and my God. Yeah, we are going to enter in, and we are going to learn in. Yes, absolutely. Hallelujah. So I encourage you just to keep the rest in focus. Don't let it get away from you in the busyness of solving the problems of your day and the problems of your week. Because the reality is all the problems of the week have to submit to his rest. If we'll allow it, see, we just make Jesus Lord. When we're willing to make Jesus Lord, that's the thing that is going to change everything. It doesn't matter what issue is affecting your life. Ultimately, when you make Jesus Lord, that issue is going to have to submit. The hard part sometimes is allowing our heart to let Jesus be Lord in that area. Some giggling over here. Hallelujah. Because, and I'm not speaking to anybody but myself. So if you're giggling, then that's on you, not on me. But there is a, you know, when we truly submit. I had a gentleman that I was dealing with recently, and he was saying, I know it's going to take some time for this issue to go away. And I said, well, let me just refresh you right there. Okay? I said, because I understand that traditionally these things take time to be dealt with. But the reality is, in the moment that you make Jesus Lord over this area of your life, it is done once and for all. In the moment that I accepted him, my alcoholism was done in that moment. I've never had to go back to it. I've never wanted to go back to it. In the moment that I decided that, you know, I'm going to enter in and I'm going to defeat this thing of anger in my life. In that moment, it was already defeated. Now, it took me a little bit of time to work some other things out, but I can tell you it was defeated in that moment. I can show you the place where it was defeated because I remember it. I've never had to return to those things. Why? Because I made Jesus Lord in that area of my life. When we make Jesus Lord, it changes everything else. Hallelujah. I'm not supposed to be the one speaking here. I'm just doing it to open up and to share a little bit about my week. Hallelujah. I guess I feel better. How do you guys feel? I've come clean. I've made my confessions for today. I'm forgiven. I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. Well, it's not just enough to be forgiven. It's let's rejoice in our forgiveness. Hallelujah. So I'm just, you know, I do want to just introduce this morning. I've asked, because LaRue's out of town this weekend, so he will be back. Actually, I'll be back this evening, but I will be doing the second service. So I asked Miss Sharon if she would come and do the first service. And I know that every time that she comes and shares, there's something exciting. There's an impartation on her life. There's a healing on her life that's tangible. There's an impartation of joy and peace that comes with her life that's tangible. And there is a joy that bubbles up. And you know, and sometimes every moment. So we just want to receive what she has this morning and receive it. And so just welcome Ms. Sharon up this morning. The light bulb that always is on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Let's say praise the Lord. We love you, Jesus. And Lord, we surrender. We surrender every care. We surrender every fear. And we surrender every offense. In Jesus' mighty name. And we say, and the people said, amen. Well, I have a word this morning, and this is what the Lord put on my heart. When I first woke up this morning, I heard these words. If I focus long and hard enough, as far as meditating and seeing, and we know meditate means haggah in Hebrew, to speak and to utter, that I can have it. He said, he would give me whatever I focused long and hard enough on. And see, the thing is, when you want a miracle breakthrough in an area, or you want to overcome a stronghold, the Lord has already given us the keys to the kingdom of God. How many people have the keys to the kingdom? And the Lord gave them to us in Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, and Matthew chapter 13, when he said about the man that had the seed, the sower, and he went to sow the seed in the ground. And some of the ground was hard, it was the path, and it just laid there. Some of the seed was on rocky soil, and when the seed came up, the plant came up, it didn't have enough soil around it. It wasn't nurtured enough, so that shriveled and died out. And some of the seed came up among weeds, and the weeds can be like things like in our heart. We can have weeds in our heart, like doubt and unbelief are weeds. Unforgiveness or offense are weeds. Anger is weeds. Hurt is a weed. And that when that plant comes up, then those weeds can choke out the plant that you're trying to raise up, or that tree that you're trying to raise up of life, and it'll shrivel and die. But some of the seed, he said, that falls on good ground, good fertile soil. And the Lord says our hearts is what is good and fertile soil. And it says in Luke 8:15, and just summarizing, the word that's received and held in a good and noble heart will produce an abundant harvest. Say this after me. The word that's planted and held in a good and a noble heart will produce much good fruit. Because we're created in the image of God. He said what's fascinating in Genesis 1:26, that not only are we created in his image, which means to look like God, we're created in his likeness. And likeness means what's going on the inside. Because whatever's going on the inside of a man is what's going to eventually manifest on the outside of man. We are made in the image and likeness of God to be creators and to create an atmosphere of heaven, which is the good news of the kingdom of God everywhere that we go. We should be releasing out of us the peace of God. We should be releasing out of our being the love of God. I know, like when Justin and Haiti go into the prisons, whatever room that they go into, the atmosphere is immediately going to start conforming to the image of God that they've taken the time to plant within them. And I remember Ken Roberts said he had this amazing dream of the end days, and there was this gross darkness, and the Lord said, now rise up and speak and release love. And the people were like in the darkness. And he said, now rise up and start speaking love over these people. And as he started speaking love over the people, light started to break into the darkness, and the people started running towards the light. Because when you're in darkness, you can't see. Now, and the word says that if you hate your brother, you're living in darkness. And so love equals light. If you love your brother, you're living in the light. And if you want to be able to discern, and especially in the prophetic, we have to always guard our hearts. Let not one bit of offense or hurt stay there. Doesn't mean that we may never feel hurt, but don't ever let it stay there. Get it out of your heart. That's a weed that will choke the kingdom of God, the creative kingdom realm of God in your heart from operating at the fullness. It will just put sludge in the trunk. Sludge, just sludge it all up, you know, so we don't want that. So, but there's a verse in Philippians that says, let love abound in you more and more so that you're able to discern. So I'm always very careful to take counsel from somebody that I know is not walking in love. And the Word of God says that not only are we to walk in love, the Word says that we are to live a life of love, that we are to be rooted and grounded in love. And it says we are to do everything in love. Now today I wanted to talk about the power of the blessing. And because Pastor LaRue has been sharing about Genesis 22:16, where he's been going up, ascending up, and then meditating in that secret place. Lord, you promised in blessing that you would bless me, and in multiplying, you would multiply me. Well, if you look at Genesis 22, starting in verse 16, it says, and this is the Lord saying this to Abraham, by myself I have sworn. That's the promise of the blessing. That because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. So it says in the Word that we receive in Genesis 3:14, we receive the promises of the Spirit by faith. So we have to appropriate those blessings, appropriate those promises by dwelling in that promise long enough and taking it, receiving it, and holding it in a good and noble heart long enough for it to manifest. If our heart is the garden, then we take the water of the Word once the seed is planted, and we continue to water that Word, focusing in on whichever thing area that God is telling us to focus in on. And in his case, he's been focusing in on the blessing, the power of the blessing, and the multiplying, the wealth transference. And he's been meditating on it long enough to start seeing it manifest in his life. If we want to see freedom manifest in our life, then we want to appropriate the Word of God, the promises of in the Word of God, like Galatians 5:1, which says, Christ has set me free, so stand firm in your freedom. Or Colossians 1:13, that God has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He has so many promises on that, but meditating on a certain area long enough to get the breakthrough in that area until the Word of God will stand up inside of you and it'll drop from the head to the heart, and then you'll receive your promise. I heard Mickey Winburn share this short testimony that she was struggling with allergies. So she decided to start meditating on the promises of healing. And then her husband one day said, honey, let's go out to the country with their two boys. And she's like, well, okay, you know, but on the inside, she's like, oh man, it's going to be worse out there, you know, worse. And so, but she said, that's it. I'm going to make my stand. And this is what God is saying to many of you today. Start making your stand against the enemy. Whatever does not look like heaven in your life is not part of you. That's not part of the kingdom realm. God says in Psalm, I want to say 37:25, that he enjoys the prosperity of his servant. Let the God be magnified who enjoys or who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And that's not just financially. That means in our soul and in our physical body, because we are a triune being, just like the Lord, body, soul, spirit, and we are one. We are one with the Father. We are one with Jesus. We are one with the Holy Spirit. And so, anyways, so she got ready to go, and so she's in this long car ride with her husband. And so she starts saying to herself, out of 1 Peter 2:24 or Isaiah 53, I want to say 3 or 4, by his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. She's thinking it. She thought it for almost 2.5 hours, like 2 hours and 15 minutes. She just thought it over and over and over. So what was she doing? She was meditating long and hard enough to see that promise manifest. And like Pastor LaRue has said, awareness and focus, acknowledgement, she's acknowledging it in her thoughts. She's making awareness and she's focusing on the healing. So she said, all of a sudden they pulled over to this gas station to get gas. And all of a sudden the word of God that by his stripes that she is healed. And that word healed in Greek means delivered and made whole. It's a package deal. Whenever Jesus healed people, he healed the whole man. They received the whole thing, completely healed. So she said all of a sudden, her spirit man stood up inside of her and the word of God dropped from her mind into her heart and she was healed. The Lord is not, we are not waiting on the Lord. The Lord is waiting on us to take our position, our rightful position in the word of God, in him, and to start exercising our faith. There's a scripture verse that says, and I believe it's in Hebrews, that says, do not be lazy or imitate those that are lazy or sluggish, but with faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Now, this is the season where we are going above the blessing realm into the room of inheritance that is due to mature sons and daughters of God. A Hebrew young man, the father would call him his child until he reached the age of bar mitzvah, which is like, I think, 12 or 13 years old. And once he went through those rites and he had to memorize the Torah, he had to memorize so much of the Bible, which means he was rooted in the Word. Then he was the father would call him son. And he would start getting the rights of sonship. When we get to a mature age, when we are started getting mature in the spirit, God, he will give us those things, but our maturity is up to us. A child could be very mature in the Lord if they started focusing in on the things of God. So the word bless in, what's interesting is the word bless in Hebrew is barak, and it means pool, pool, pool. And so when God blesses us, the blessing isn't just like this one little molecule of water. When we get blessed, it's like a pool that more people can draw from. It's not just for us. Our personal breakthrough could be tied in together for a national breakthrough for somebody else's life. Or it could be tied into it together for a breakthrough for your family's life, for your friend's life. You break through in an area and it starts paving the way for other people to walk through that. I see like Pastor Chuck with some of his teachings like on grace and some of these other things, he breaks through the way. And once that wall is broken down, then we can start walking that path behind him as he's following that path of the Lord Jesus Christ. It breaks the way. When Justin and Haiti go into the prisons, they're breaking the way with the truth, because it says we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. For other people then to be able to start experiencing that freedom. And God wants us to be free in every area of our life. Well, another word for blessing in the Greek is eulogia. And the word eulogia means to speak well of or favorably of. And so that's like eulogy that they have when somebody passes away. Typically that, you know, you speak nice things about the people. And so when it says that we are to, Jesus says that we are to bless those that curse us, totally the opposite of what the world says. If you're like ever, you know, like been around friends or say at work, you know, say, oh man, this guy's a jerk, you know, and you know, and he's like, da, 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 and you start speaking out of your mouth, you are just, because you are, especially if you are a Christian, if you are a Christian and you're lined up with God, your words have such power and authority to them, you're just binding them up with more of that same behavior when you speak those kind of words out of your mouth. But instead, Jesus says, bless those that curse you. And when you bless, the word bless means speaking God's intention over them. Now, we are created in the image of God and to be like God, right? To do like what he would do. Well, guess what the first thing that God the Father did after he made man? Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. Say, and God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion. Is that not the heart of a father? The very first words out of God the Father's mouth to his creation was a blessing. And that words was so powerful. Did the two become more than five? The two became billions of people just through the power of the words that God spoke over man. And so, Jesus, what's fascinating is that, you know, when Jesus said it was finished, his last visitation that he had with the disciples, we know that he came back and he dwelled for like 30 or 40 days, teaching them, being with them. But when he did his last ascension and he was rising up, they said he was rising from the earth. Many historians say that he was releasing, as he was going up, the Aaronic blessing. And the Aaronic blessing is number 620. And we can turn to that. Let me see. I think I put it down in here. And it says, it starts with 622 through 27. And starting with starting with verse 23. He says, speak to Aaron and his sons, and this is the way that you shall bless the Israelites and bless the people. And in verse 23, that it says, God bless you and keep you. God smile upon you and gift you. God look you full in the face and make you prosper. In doing this, you will place my name on the people of Israel, and I will confirm it by blessing them. That's out of the Message translation. In the Amplified, it says, the Lord bless you and keep you, protect you, sustain you, guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you with divine approval and give you peace, a tranquil heart and life. And so Aaron and his sons shall put the name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It took the power of the blessing to change the Jewish people that were in slave mentality. They had a low self-image of themselves. They were slaves for 400 years, and to raise them up to be sons and daughters and inheritors of the Most High God. It took more than just teaching. It took the power of the blessing. The Lord told them, bless the people. And the Jewish people do that to this day on Shabbat, every Friday night. The father will bless his wife. The father will bless the children every week. And the Jewish people are blessed because they're doing what? They're exercising their faith. They are exercising the power of the blessing. Now, Jacob thought the blessing was so amazing that He coveted the blessing and he actually took it from his brother. Right? And Esau, he kind of despised it and he gave away his birthright, his birth order, to his brother for a bowl of stew. So there's a verse where it says, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. And even though Jacob stole the birthright, and he also stole the blessing. If you ever read that story, well, you know, we know that that wasn't God's way of him handling things. He did things under a little bit under his own self-reliance. God would have worked it out. But that is just to give you an example of how much they looked for the blessing. Our words have power to them. And so we need to keep that guard over our mouth and over our hearts that we will not sin against God. The Lord said, or Paul said, the words that I speak are speaking the very words of God. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. The words are containers of power and they can bruise and they can wound or they can heal and they can bless and prosper. And the Lord said that we are to love our enemies, which means move in the opposite spirit. Now, there's a verse, it's either 1st or 2nd Peter 3:9. I think it's 1 Peter 3:9. It says, do not return evil with evil, or slander with slander, or gossip with gossip, but with a blessing. To this that you were called, say, I was called to be a blesser, so that you may inherit a blessing. I had meditated on that over and over, and I realized that if I start sowing blessings in people's life, and I say, oh, Kim, I bless you, and I pray that God prosper you, and just speak, blessing means to speak well of, then guess what you're going to get back upon you? A blessing. Now, if we were to say, and Jesus gave the example of the fig tree. He never cursed that fig tree. He just said to the fig tree, may you never bear forth fruit again, in one of the versions. But his words were like a curse, and the fig tree dried up the next day. So when it comes to like Muslims, or it comes to people that may be moving in opposite actions of love that we would want to walk in, you know, or these rioters or these other people, instead of talking bad about them, if we start speaking blessings over them, that can change the environment. If someone is walking in hate, or someone's doing something that's not right, and we just start saying, they're doing this, da 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 da, we're just binding more darkness around them. But if blessing equates love, then when we bless, we're releasing light. A person that's already operating in hatred or dissension or whatever it is, there's already a level of darkness there going on. They're not going to get free that way. But if you start blessing them, you release an atmosphere around them where God can now start work, because there's light going around them. Angels are starting to be attracted to them. Angels are being released to them because you're starting to bless them. Then they can start getting free of those strongholds that have kept them bound. And if they're in darkness, if there's whatever, you know, area that's going on, that's in, if the heart is dark, the eye gate is going to be dark, and they're not going to be able to see even what they're doing is wrong until they can start having the light and the love of God released into their hearts. And so when we start blessing those that curse us, God, it can release a blessing upon our lives. And so I heard Kerry Kirkwood, he taught on the power of the blessing. And one thing he said, and I thought was very interesting. And he said, if you're not being blessed, check to see if you're withholding the blessing. Are you withholding blessings out of your mouth? because it says in either first, I believe it's first Peter, it's either first or Peter or second Peter 3:9, we were called to bless. We're made in Genesis 1:26 through 1:28 in the likeness in the image of God. And God is a blesser. Jesus is a blesser. He constantly was releasing the kingdom of heaven everywhere that he went and setting the captives free. He was constantly releasing an atmosphere of love, joy, peace, prosperity, healing. That's who we are called to be. And so even when it comes with a relationship, even between like a husband and wife, you may ask, when was the last time I really blessed my spouse? When was the last time I really blessed my friend? When was the last time I really blessed my pastors? When was the last time I really blessed my neighbors? Now, Jacob so desired, I mean, man, this is a man on fire, because you know what? He so was into the blessing, and even though he did it in the wrong way, he had a fire. So by the very end, you know, he had to go spend his time on, you know, he had his desert time. He worked 7 years for Leah. You know, he wanted Rebekah. Then he had to work another 7 years. He got Leah. Then he had to work another 7 years for Rebekah. And then I don't know, that's 14. I don't know if he worked another 7 years or what after that. But then he worked another 7 years after that. So he had it. And God tends to work in cycles of seven, in cycles of three, and cycles of seven. I mean, man, he had to really work a lot, you know. But God ended up blessing him. He did get the blessing, and he sought the blessing. But now he's getting ready to go back and face Esau, his brother that he stole the blessing from. And so it's the night before, he already found out from his men. They said, hey, Esau's coming with a whole bunch of men to face us. And so he's like, oh my goodness. He sends his wives and his children over the river. And I think it was Jabbok. And anyways, so now he's by himself. He did send them ahead, but now he's by himself. And he sent all these gifts ahead. Well, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, a gift will pacify the anger or the offense. I mean, so that's, I mean, it was a good wisdom tool there. So anyways, so he's by himself, and all night long he's wrestling with God for his blessing. And he says, this is Genesis 32 verse 27. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. And this is the angel or the Lord saying that. But Jacob said, I will not let you go until you declare a blessing on me. So he asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, which means deceiver, but Israel, which can also mean prince. For you have struggled with God and with man and prevailed. So right there, he said he's prevailed. He's going to prevail over Esau. That's a blessing right there. Then Jacob said, please tell me your name. And he said, why is it that you ask me my name? And then it was either the Lord or the angel declared a blessing of the covenant promises, Amplified says, on Jacob there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, and that means face of God. For I've seen God face to face, yet my life has not been snatched away. That's why in the Aaronic blessing of Numbers 6:22 through 24, when it says, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord make his face shine upon you, may the Lord turn his countenance upon you and show you favor. When you have this kind of face to face, when you're able to have face to face encounters with somebody or with the king, it means it's an honored position. But if the king doesn't want to see you or turns his face or says, cover his face, that's not good. That's not good. We want to seek the Lord face to face. It means when you're face to face with the king, it means that you have favor. Now, let me give you just, in closing, just a few more things about the blessing. In Psalms, and you could always write these verses down and then look them up later for yourself if you'd like. In Psalm 24, 3 through 6, it says, "Who may ascend up the mountain of the Lord?" And then it goes on to say, "Who can stand in his holy place? But he or she who has clean hands and a pure heart." And then it goes on to say, "They shall receive blessing from the Lord." Ascending up the mountain of God, keeping our heart clear, because that's Luke 8:15. That's the keys to the kingdom. Sowing the word in a clean and a pure heart. And it goes on to say, "And this is the generation of those who diligently will seek me and require him as their greatest need." This is the generation of those that will seek the face of God. Face means relationship. And I had been reading Tommy Tinney about Favor with the King, his book, and about One Night with the King. And one of the things that they had said was that when it was like the king talking, and he was sharing with Esther, he said, "I have people come in my court all day long, and they're just seeking me for what I can give them. Power, prestige, assignments, material things. But here you come in," and she came in and she brought him a gift. And she told him, "I give you myself. I give you my mind. I give you my heart. I give you my body. I give myself to you to love you." And she won the heart of the king. Can you imagine God, and how often people, including, you know, myself, have gone in and it's all about me. Like Joyce Meyer, it's all about me, all about me, all about me. And just saying, "Hey, God, I want this," praying for this, praying for that, you know. And it may be also praying for other people, but all about petitions. And there's the king sitting there. And he's also our Father and our Lord. And like, man, you know, they didn't even tell me that they loved me. They're asking me, they've come with a whole laundry list, and they haven't even thanked me for one thing I did for them yesterday. And they haven't thanked me for one thing I did for them the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. There's a verse that says, "And they worship the Lord in vanity, for their hearts were far away from him." The Lord is more interested in a relationship with us than our laundry list of prayer petitions. That's the generation in Psalm 24 that will ascend the mountain of God, because they're after him. He is the pearl of great price. He is the desired one of all the nations of the world. When there is a time of restoration, then, and this is a season of restoration of the church, a wealth transference, God is going to bless his bride with the bridal price, with the gifts from Tyre. It says in Psalm 45, he's going to bless his bride before his coming. And his bride is making herself ready. So there's one verse in Ezekiel that says, "And I will make them and the places around my hill, Jerusalem, Zion," which is on a mountain, by the way, "a blessing. I will make showers come down in their season, and abundant showers, and with divine favor, I will bless them." And so the last couple of verses, which is really interesting, is that there is the commanded blessings. Do you know that the Lord has commanded that you be blessed? Isn't that awesome of our Father? It says in Numbers 23:20, "Behold, I have received his command to bless Israel. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it." I have received his command to bless. And Deuteronomy 28:8, "The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse," which is your reserves, "and all that you set your hands to, he will bless you in the land which the Lord has given you." And you can remind God and activate that blessing inside of you by saying, "Lord, not only did you swear that you would bless me, you have released the commanded blessing." Well, we have a right to that blessing because in Galatians 3:29, it says, "We belong to Christ. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and an heir." Say, "I belong to Christ, so I'm Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise." So it says, therefore, in Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse." And poverty and lack is one example of a curse in Deuteronomy 27 and Deuteronomy 28 or 29. But it also says, because cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us in Christ Jesus, and that we receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. So we can remind the Lord, you can remind the Lord and just speak in speaking to your soul and saying, "You are blessed. I am blessed. I'm the seed of Abraham. I am blessed according to the covenant that Abraham, that God made with Abraham. I am blessed. I am an heir. I am the seed of Abraham. I am blessed." Galatians 3:29 says, "I am blessed. I am the seed of Abraham. I am an heir. I am blessed. I am blessed. I receive the blessings of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the Lord." And you can appropriate those blessings with the acknowledgement out of your mouth, the awareness, and the focus. And so with that, is it time for the... it's like 9:25. We have a little bit more time. Oh, okay. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then there's the thousandfold blessing of Deuteronomy 1:11, and it says, "May the Lord," and I'm going to speak this over you as a blessing, "May the Lord God of our ancestors multiply you 1,000 times more and bless you as he has promised." May God multiply you and increase you in your area of revenue. May God multiply you and bless you in the abilities and talents that he's given you to fulfill the destiny and the calling that he's placed within your life. May God bless you and multiply you in your strength and physical health in your body. And may God bless you and multiply you in divine union with the living God to walk in habitual habitation and divine fellowship with him all the days of your life. In Psalm 23:6, it says, "Without a doubt, goodness and blessings are supposed to be following us. We're redeemed from the curse. It's a free gift. It's just like if you're born as a son of a king, you're born into the blessing. The moment we became born again, we have received imputed righteousness, the righteousness of God, and we've received the blessing. We are blessed. We are blessed people. And so David said, surely only goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely means without a doubt, the goodness of the Lord is following me. Say, surely the goodness of the Lord is following me every day of my life. Now that word goodness in the Hebrew means tov. And tov means prosperity, beauty, ease, which can be freedom, grace. That's an atmosphere. If you'll shift the atmosphere of your belief system in your heart, if you'll shift the atmosphere and get rid of anything that's not light inside, that will start shifting the atmosphere around you. If you set an end target of your faith and start believing that you receive, Mark 11:24, whatsoever you ask for, believe that you receive it. And that word in Greek is already, then it will be yours. But we have to believe that we are blessed. We are blessed. And then Jabez, which was interesting, his name meant pain. His wife, his mom had pain in delivering him and named him Jabez. Pain, like pain in the neck. And so he was like really upset when he got, I'm sure he got a little bit older and he realized what his name meant, because he knew the power of the blessing and the power of the words. And so he cried out to God. And this is so fascinating. And in you can read about it in 1 Chronicles 4:10. And it says, literally it says, Jabez cried out to God, saying, O Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, enlarge my territory, multiply me, God, that your hand would be upon me and that you keep me from evil so that it does not hurt me. And it goes on to say, and God granted his request. That is an example of Galatians 3:13 and 14. And God right there redeemed him from that curse. And he put a blessing upon him instead. And then there's one other fascinating story, and I'm just, if I don't see it in my notes, I'm just going to tell it to you by faith. And that is the story of when Balak was hired to curse the Israelites. And if you read that story, Balaam was unable to curse them. He tried, but all that would come out of his mouth was a blessing. That means there had to be an atmosphere of blessing around the Israelites, the Jewish people, and that atmosphere repelled the cursing. That means that there had to be something so tangibly upon them, the power of the blessing, they were unable to be touched with a curse. God would not allow it. See, that man had power because he knew who he was, Balaam. He had a certain authority or level in the spirit, but it was from the wrong spirit. And so God knew that man had power to his words, and he would not let that man curse the Israelites. Instead, he spoke blessings over them 3 times, and they ended up totally defeating their enemies. So that's the power of the power of the blessing. And so, anyways, and the Lord says that he crowns us with glory and honor. And there's a verse that says He has crowned the king with blessing. In Psalms, it says he crowns us with blessings. I just want you to imagine your crown on your head right now, your gold crown, and that you are blessed. You are loved by God. Revelations 1:5. He has freed you from your sins, which is also curses, and that he has, and he's purchased your freedom with his blood so that you can rule and reign on earth as a king. And it literally says, on earth. This is the season. William Branham had prophesied about the end days for us to know who we are in Christ. We are royalty. We are blessed. We are rulers. We are leaders. But we got to have that heart of a lamb, but be able to roar like a lion whenever it's needed. So in closing, let's just stand up, and I'm going to ask the father of the house, Pastor Chuck, just to close and just to release a power of a blessing upon us, because his words have weight and authority because of his relationship and his heart with God, and because of the purity of his heart. His words have power, and because he's the authority figure in the church, he represents the authority. There's power when he releases it upon us.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to also remind you that when we've spoken in the past about releasing and breaking off a trespass in our life, that releasing and breaking off is accomplished by releasing a blessing over the life of the offender. Because when we release a blessing over the life of the offender, we're speaking God's purpose into their life. And so as you receive right now the blessing that, as we speak, is why I let the Lord just lead, receive God's purpose for your life. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just do come. And, Lord, I ask for your face to shine upon each and every one of these that are here in the sound of my voice. I ask, Lord, for your favor and your mercy to be poured out over their lives. I ask for your plan to come to fullness of fruition in their lives. I thank you, Lord, for fullness of relationship one to another and to you, Lord, in their lives. I thank you, Lord, and I release the blessing of God, the blessing of the Father. I release a blessing of the Father that brings a togetherness and a oneness. I release the blessing of the Father that gives them a place of satisfaction with you. That they would know the fulfillment, Lord, that is found in you. That they would know, Lord, the place that they have that is beyond all comparison. Because, Lord, you choose and you have already released and spoken over them a blessing. Lord, we choose to receive what you release. We choose to receive the grace. We choose to receive the righteousness. We choose to receive, Lord, that place that grace and righteousness establish in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the physical, tangible, healthful benefit that is released out of your blessing. We receive it today. We receive blessings in our body. We receive blessings in our finance. We receive blessings in our soul. We receive blessings, Lord, in our environment. We receive blessings, Father, and in our expectation. We receive blessings in our coming in and our going out. We receive blessings and multiplication, Lord. I thank you for the multiplication of God to be upon the lives of each one within my hearing. I thank you for the multiplication of heaven over their lives, over their finances, over their business. I thank you for the multiplication over heaven, over their ministry, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the heart of God being released through these who are here to hear and receive today. We give you all praise and all glory. Amen and amen.